Buzz! 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 Buzz!
Welcome in to another emergency pod for At the Buzzer, your Ralphie Report podcast, talking about all things Colorado athletics. The last time we had an emergency pod, joyous day, Colorado football announced changes to its leadership. We are still in the midst of that search. However, this one is even more special. This emergency pod is only happy news. Colorado basketball has signed two players, including one that has announced today. And you know when someone's doing a signing day announcement, they are not any, it's a big deal. That means they're a pretty big deal. So once again, we have corralled our emergency pod crew. I am one host, Jack. Our European host, Sam, is back. Hello, Sam.
Howdy.
And finally, our
stay in Europe, Sam. If you're the European host, you can't come with a howdy.
Well, that's the thing is, when you live abroad away from home, you sometimes get pinned into your identity of where you come from, and you can lean into that if you would like. My Croatian friend has never been more proud of Croatia than when he lives abroad, and I have never leaned more into the Western aesthetic than I do now.
You throw a lot of howdies around then.
Yes, I do. And I have three bolo ties, one of which I just bought, and it's a little buffalo head. And I'm very proud.
For our listeners at home, you're not seeing our podcast recording setup, but Sam is currently wearing all three bolo ties at once and a cowboy hat. finally, our emergency podcast guest.
What's the name of the buff? What's his name? I always forget. Mark Jackson.
Yes, the voice of the Buffs, yeah.
Wait, it's Mark Johnson. Sorry.
Yeah.
If you've seen him in person, that he dresses like he's on a ranch. He's great.
He is a rancher. He owns a ranch.
Oh, that does not surprise me one bit. Okay.
Once again, our emergency pod special guest, as always, returning favorite all-star, put all the accolades on him. Action Network contributor.
The real voice of the Buffs.
U.S. men's national team shit poster currently. We have Chase Howell back. Welcome, Chase.
Thank you for having me on. I'm all tied up in this USMNT stuff. That's the big news of the day, isn't it? We're worried about the roster and who Triple G's picking on his roster.
Election
Did
does
Jesus
not matter.
Did Jesus Ferreira make the team?
What's up?
Did Jesus Ferreira make the team?
Yeah, he did.
He's great in FIFA.
You play with a lot of MLS guys in FIFA, Sam.
No, I buy them when they're an 82 overall playing for like Napoli, and then I bring them over.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's smart.
To our Liverpool. Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah. There's some questionable decisions at striker. I don't think Ferreira is the biggest question mark, though.
Okay. That's good. Daryl Dyke is on the team. Okay. Never mind.
I know.
What are we talking about, Jack?
We are talking about.
I don't think
about...
that's how you pronounce it, and I wouldn't
it's
pronounce
like...
it that way.
DK?
It might offend some people.
All right, get us back on track.
Okay, I'll try. Not the U.S. men's national team is what we're talking about. We are talking about tabloid momentous day. We knew that the early signing day would have some good things involved, as it always does with tabloid, but today was even more special. 2 years after landing a top 10 class in early signing day, 1 year after landing a top 25 class, tabloid does it again. And CU, not done yet, but they currently have a top 15 class in the 247 basketball recruitings. Just incredible what he's done upscaling the recruiting. And it's not just about the numbers. It's about the players that represent those numbers. We're going to talk about the first guy that signed. He has been a commit for quite a while now. And it's kind of been quiet because of some of the bigger fish that Colorado basketball has chased. But this type of player is exactly the backbone that Tad built his winning off of. So Tad signed a 6'5 guard out of California named Courtney Anderson, who has been committed for a few months now. Courtney Anderson had some other Power 5 offers and some other nice California offers. You always like to see that San Diego State offer slide in there for a California guy. But he committed to CU and he signed today. And before I go too far, I'll stop my rant and just saying, like, to me, he is a very classic Tad Boyle guard. That's how I feel about Courtney Anderson. Just that's a Tad guy.
He's kind of that guy that Tad used to recruit when he wouldn't get an actual point guard and he would just get a bunch of combo guards and see if the team could run itself. Mm. That being said, I actually do like him. Yeah. He is that guy.
Yeah, you don't want – I think – yeah, I don't want to put this label on him because it's not the exact same, but Chase is right. I put him in, like, that Jerron Hawkins thing of, like, back in the day when Ronnie Phillips was doing it and Tad Boyle's like, we can fix him! And we don't really need to do that for a point guard with Courtney Anderson. I think they understand that, but he fits that mold. He's 6'5". Plays lead guard for his high school right now, but I don't think he'll do so in college. Super long wingspan, and as we have discussed, his father was an NFL linebacker, and you can absolutely see that in his physique, even as a 17-year-old.
What would he contribute immediately if he got minutes?
Okay, well, I was about to say he won't. That's how deep next year's team is, but he would be. Defense and energy right off the rip, super long arms, and even with this year's team full of plus athletes, I would say he's still on the upper half of next year's team in terms of athleticism. Like, he can really bounce.
Okay.
That's where I'm putting it. Chase, well, if you have anything to add there.
Yeah, well, we were talking about the combo guard thing. It reminds me of when Tad got Dalen Coons and Eli Parquet and was like, one of these guys is going to be a point guard. And neither of them turned out to be a point guard. But I think he is very similar to Eli Parquet, and he's probably even more athletic. But I think that's the type of guy that you're getting. It's a guy you can throw out there and lock down the other team's best guard, which is obviously really key, especially once you get into tournament play, Pac-12 and NCAA. You need that lockdown defender. And I think this is the type of guy. I think RJ Smith, who they got last year, could be that guy. But I think Courtney Anderson is – even more athletic, even more longer, and I think he can be a lockdown defender for them.
I like the idea of like if you bring in those high level prospects and you round out the classes with kind of those project big guards, like especially because we can't. There's a history of developing it. What, Jack?
I'm going to disagree with him being a project. I think RJ Smith is exactly what you're talking about with a project. RJ Smith,
okay, sure.
I'm under-recruited, just balled out at Damien High School. Like, you know, you pick a guy who averages 18 to 20 points in a Southern California high school league who is the leader for the team. I think that's an easy pickup. He's not going to kill your locker room. You develop him. You let him play defense. Courtney Anderson is the type of guy that in prior classes, he would be the cornerstone. Like, he's really highly recruited. Like, he is top 150 player. He is pretty semi, you know, more polished than someone like Parquet was coming out of high school offensively. He is more of a project compared to some of the people we've taken recently, but he would play early on some old Tab Oil teams. It's just that with the way this roster is right now and the level of talent that CU has right now, he's not going to do that. And when you ask the question, how would he play if he plays early? It would be through defense and effort, kind of like in that Luke O'Brien mold of just like, he's going to try to crash the boards as hard as possible. He has a body type that a lot of the other guards don't have, and that he's literally like, he looks like a linebacker. Like, at 17 years old, he's built, dude. So you give him a year with Steve Englehart, he's going to be ripped to shreds. And that's he's going to be that intimidating lockdown defender, I'll take the best guy on the other team type player in the future. You hope so. So he fits that mold, but I kind of want to push back on the fact that he's a project. I don't necessarily think he's a project. I just think comparatively there's a lack of polish on his offensive game as opposed to the rest of the roster right now. Different profile than a lot of the other guards. Like, Hammond and Ruffin are not the same dudes as this guy.
And to that point, one of the things that Tad keeps on bringing up is that he is only turned 17 in August, and he's going to obviously be an 18-year-old next August, and which is really, really young for a basketball recruit. It seems like all these guys are already 18 now. They end up taking another year so that they can get even taller, get even bigger.
Yeah.
And Courtney Anderson doesn't need that. He's already ready. He's already has that college basketball style.
Has he said anything about like his maturity then?
No.
I think a basketball recruit, they vet very highly for maturity. I don't worry about character or maturity with
He mentioned for both players that signed today, Tad Boyle mentioned that they come from very like solid families, and you know, like, he likes the makeup of both of their personalities a lot, which as Chase has mentioned, is a luxury that Tad Boyle's continuing to allow himself as his recruiting skyrockets. It's like making sure the fit's really, really there. You know, not to name names or anything, but there's no – like, Bryce Peters is not an option with Courtney Anderson. It's not that type of guy.
That's one reason why Tad's been so successful getting 3-star and maybe even lower 4-star recruits and making an NCAA tournament team out of that is because he only recruits high character guys. And that's one reason why this team this year could be pretty good, is because this team gels so well. So that we trust Tad with character guys. And now if he's also getting 4 stars and even a 5-star, that just makes it that much better.
Look at that pro transition. I don't even have to do anything. I don't know why I'm here. Speaking of getting 5 stars, that is the big news of today. We talked about this before on the podcast, but Colorado was in the running for a player named Cody Williams all recruiting cycle. And Cody Williams has continued to shoot up the prospect boards. He, for a really quick background, his older brother, Jalen Williams, was a lottery pick in this past NBA draft, was lightly recruited by CU, decided to go to Santa Clara and balled out after developing there, became the 12th overall pick. Cody Williams, following in that footsteps, developed a little bit late and blew up this past cycle. He's now a almost unanimous 5-star. ESPN has a top 15 player in the country. 247 has him as a top 25 player in the country. On3 has him in that range as well. So he definitely blew up. His recruitment has been pretty, I would say, contentious. Arizona's on there. LSU was on him. UCLA was on him. USC was on him. Arkansas was on him. In the end, it seemed like it came down to Arizona, LSU, and Colorado. He made the smart choice of excluding Arizona from his choice, his choices. And finally, today, we all got the news we wanted. Cody Williams has committed and signed as a Colorado Buffalo, the first 5-star in the Tad Boyle era.
Woo! according to Arizona, though, they were never really in it on this guy. You know, they didn't actually want him, is what I'm hearing.
That's so weird because they said the exact opposite 2 weeks ago and a month ago when they really wanted him. So it's strange how something changed in those 2 weeks. It's funny how they've literally never lost a recruiting battle to Colorado in either sport. They just stopped recruiting the guys that go to CU. Funny how that works. Yeah, Cody Williams, a gigantic recruit. Like, incredibly high. I cannot stress enough how big of a deal it is that CU pulled this out. Not only did they pull out a 5-star, they pulled out a 5-star in an era where, like, obviously, money is flowing. This is the time in recruitment when money helps you get guys. And Colorado is not going to compete with the LSUs, with the Arizonas, with the UCLAs, with the USCs of the world with money. So, you know, I've turned everything into a soliloquy for Tad Boyle, but I'm going to do it again here. Like, once again, just proves, just goes to show, if you are a good coach, if you are honest with players, and if you actually develop and recruit guys by relationship, it will pay off. And that's what this was. That's what this recruitment was, in my opinion.
It was really the perfect storm for CU to be able to land a 5-star. You don't get many of these types of guys very often. They might come once in a decade, these types of 5-star recruits that don't have an ego. They want to be developed. They're not worried about being a one and done. They're not worried about their NIL money right now because they know that if they can develop enough, they'll get to the NBA just like Cody's brother already did. So it was kind of just the perfect storm to be able to land a 5-star recruit. And I don't think that this means that Colorado is going to be in position to land a bunch of them down the road just because of all the other factors that 5-stars typically worry about that Cody Williams just did not worry about this time.
I don't think 5-stars are suddenly lining up to go down the CU's door, but I think it does also prove once again that Tad Boyle has reached a new level recruiting in this, like, whatever you want to call this era of his tenure. But, you know, starting 4 or 5 years ago, CU has started to land really, really highly sought after prospects. I think that 2017 class showed that at the beginning, still an all time great class in CU history, right? But he started to even shoot higher and higher and higher. And that's, this is tantamount to that. You know, before, I don't want to keep talking about the mechanism of the recruiting, but you know, Cody Williams mentioned that the honesty and the straightforwardness of Tad Boyle in recruiting was a factor for him, as well as like the family atmosphere and the program that's been cultivated. He mentioned that the way that they've treated his brother during his recruitment and the comfort his family has with his Colorado coaching staff as a portion of the recruitment. So all, you know, that's why you treat every prospect the same, no matter what. And that's why, you know, some of that stuff matters, like relationships matter. So once again, just a huge coup for the program. I guess I'm saying that, and we should probably talk about why it's a huge coup for the program. I have watched now a full playoff game that you played in last year, as well as plenty of mixtapes. So I have my thoughts. There's also scouting reports out there. Sam or Chase, have you guys watched much of Cody Williams' highlights?
I've done pretty much all the mixtapes. I think I have not watched a full game. I'm impressed that you have time to be able to do that. But I would love to watch a full game here soon. And his team, I believe, is going to be ranked in the top 25 in the nation, his high school team. And so I'm going to guess that they're going to be on ESPN a few times this year, or at least watchable somewhere, maybe ESPN Plus as well. Sam, have you watched him?
I have watched him. I was watching him a little bit also when we were talking earlier. Mm-hmm. And if you guys were watching me, you would have seen me go mouth agape at a certain drive where he takes it in. And he has nice little footwork, and then he goes in for a lefty scoop layup in traffic.
Yep, just like, he loves those scoop layups.
Nice. Yeah. And the thing is that he looks like he's just playing calm. Like, he is a walk in the park.
Yep.
He's just out here for a stroll, just driving through traffic.
Yep.
I like that a lot, especially like it's gonna be hard to like separate him from his brother at some point, because like every time you mention Cody Williams, you're like, oh, his brother Jalen is on the Thunder. But like they both seem to process the game like very quickly, and like, If it's slow for him, he plays like the game is slow for him. That's so nice. That's amazing. Especially if like the issue we have all the time with our talented freshmen is that most of the time where we're recruiting from them geographically, like they take time to adjust. Mm-hmm. And if he can just come in and just be this kind of player right away, which it looks like he will be, we've never had that.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It is a brand new thing in the Tab Boyle era to have a player like this come in. So Cody Williams is 6'8", probably a little bit less than 200 pounds. He's skinny as a rail right now. But
yeah, his shoulders are thin though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the biggest frame.
No, not the big, he's never going to be Courtney Anderson. So he's plays.
I love that's your frame of reference.
Yeah. You got to keep it, you know, on point, dude. I'm doing it for the SEO. So,
he's not built like Kawhi Leonard.
No, he's not built like Kawhi Leonard. I'm trying to think of not Kevin Durant. Kind of like Kevin Durant, I guess. That, you know, that skinny, weird.
Anthony Ingram?
OG Anthony.
Yeah. Sorry. Brandon Ingram? Obi, yeah, actually, that's actually quite good. Yeah, why did I say Anthony Ingram? I was thinking Anthony Edwards, too.
Brandon Ingram.
Brandon Ingram. Yes. The Slim Reaper 2.0. So he's 6'8". He plays point guard for his high school, but you know, he's gonna play wherever he wants really in college. He's pretty ball dominant. He will be able to guard probably 1 through 4, 1 through 3 for sure, but 1 through 4 maybe, depending on the four. In college, and definitely will be able to play all over the lineup on the other side of the ball. He will, I think, probably slot in as like a nice secondary ball handler behind Simpson or Hammond. So just getting a little bit deeper into his scouting report, as Sam mentioned, he has some nasty moves around the basket that let him get some crazy finishes off. His 7-foot wingspan, he uses to its fullest extent, where he keeps the defender on his hip and does these weird finger rolls. Really good touch. He's a right-handed player, but he has left-handed drives that just make you go, wow. Incredible first step quickness, too. He's going to get by his guy most of the time. Really good athleticism and kind of quick athleticism as well. So it's not like
I'm thinking a little bit like if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was taller and a lot less weird.
Okay. I just trying to think of CU specific comps, and I came up with a weird hybrid, but I'll bring that up later. I could see that. I mean, it's hard to overstate how long
he is. Weird hybrid. You can't just tease it and then not say it.
So I think, based off of his size, the fact that he likes to drive, he's not a great shooter. I was thinking of a weird mix. What's up?
Timmy Allen.
Oh, Timmy Allen is nice. Oh, wow. Timmy Allen's interesting, man. He's way less crafty than Timmy Allen, because he can just blow by dudes. Like, he doesn't have to be as crafty as Timmy Allen is.
Okay.
I was thinking of a mix between, like, Xavier Johnson as a CU comp with the driving ability, the left-hand finishes ability, and some of the size, though he's not nearly as thick. And I'm struggling with the second guy. We've mentioned Jerron Hopkins too many times here, so I can't use Jerron Hopkins, but someone like that in CU's annals.
You also want people to be excited. You can't just say, oh, this five-star we have. But also, my vision of Xavier Johnson is taking a sort of contested, sort of fadeaway three from the left wing.
Yeah, well, that's go ahead.
I was going to say, as a mix with Xavier Johnson, I think you could throw Spencer Dinwiddie in there. Just
I was going to say freshman year Spencer.
That's nice.
Super skinny Spencer for sure, but he can't shoot like Spencer Dinwiddie. That's probably his biggest weakness.
So you've kind of been painting Jalen or Cody Williams as like this fantastic athlete. Is that kind of true? Like on the previous podcast, you've said like, okay, so I see obviously there's a lot of athleticism there. There's an NBA level athleticism there. But it looks like on the college level, yes, he's athletic, but I wouldn't say like he's like crazy athletic. He just looks more fluid than explosive. And he doesn't really jump that high.
He certainly can jump pretty high. Yeah.
Good footwork.
I think he can jump high.
He just doesn't.
I don't think it's part of his game. I think, like you said, everything about his game is really smooth. So he looks calm all the time. He has good handles for how big he is. I think good to great handles for how big he is. And definitely never feels rushed. But like, as an example, right, we would say that Derek White, he's a better athlete than Derek White, but like Derek White didn't jump that high all the time, and he still yammed on that Utah dude. Like when he wanted to, he could, right?
Is he a better athlete than Derek White? Because Derek White, he tested in the combine like craziest explosive.
Yes, he is I would say he's a better athlete than Derek White. I think you are overrating. Maybe not. Derek White's a really good player. But I think on his surface, he definitely looks more athletic than Derek White.
Haven't really seen that many 6'4" guards do a two-handed block against the backboard.
D.Y. had some athleticism, for sure. I think how we should categorize it is he's a fluid athlete. He might not be as explosive as like a 6'8" guy that can just jump out of the gym, but he's a fluid athlete for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Chase.
Also, I think you mentioned it a couple times, but the most impressive thing to me when I watch him is his ability to go left or go right, use his right hand or his left hand when he's getting to the hoop. I think that is so key for someone that's 6'8" and loves to drive. And I think that's why he's so unpredictable for defenders. And I think that also helps his first step when we talk about him being explosive. I think it's because he becomes so unpredictable that he can go left and go right. And I think that's what's most impressive.
He looks like he has a good feel for space, too.
He does, yes. And what's nice about him being a lead guard is you can kind of see some of the vision. I don't think he's like, a generational passing talent, but I do think that Cody Williams absolutely can space the floor, can feel out where his teammates are and maybe where they should be too. And has the length to make passes from weird spots and in weird angles that allow for some nice movement. I mean, just offensively, just has so many tools in his bucket. And the thing that I'm most excited about is the fact that he's already such a plus finisher. Like, watching Lawson Levin go 1-for-7 on layups against UC Riverside, I want to see someone who can make some of those weird layups. That sounds great to me.
You're not done with Evan Batty throwing
another good example.
The ball at the backboard.
Yes, or early Tyler Bay when he can easily dunk, just going like, no, I'm just going to hit the side of the rim and make sure it goes out of bounds instead. I'm excited for some stuff that's not that. And that's what we talked about.
I can't even imagine a CU team that finishes layups. It's just like not in my – I guess Jabari, that's it.
Do you remember how excited we all were too to watch Jariah Horn just throw in junk, and we're like, "Oh, you can just do that? Oh, you can just like bank stuff in? Yeah. That's sweet, man." Oh. Yeah.
You get taste?
I think he's more athletic than Jariah Horn. I think we can say that.
Yes, 100%. Yes, 100%. He can't shoot like Jariah, but yeah, he's man. I'm just like Sam mentioned, we just not had a player come in like this under Tad Boyle. Like, he will immediately be pretty polished offensively and really exciting defensively. And this is the last part I want to talk about. Is I find it very, very hard not to have incredible aspirations for this team next year. I think we can all assume that even though there's only two departing seniors, CU will likely take three guys in this recruiting class, the last one of them being a big man. We've talked about two local guys on the podcast before, Bay Ndongo and Asane Diop. They are both still available, with Asane Diop announcing in 7 days. And I think that it's likely that CU will ask someone to move on next year and take three this cycle. With that being the case, next year's team, I don't know how that's not top, you know, I don't know how that's not a top 20, top 25, top 16 team. It just is incredible. Like, the talent there, I get way too excited about next year's team. And I'm interested to see where you guys think Cody Williams fits in that lineup.
Well, first of all, great transition. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Second of all, Chase, I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, first of all, I want to be excited about this year's team. And I'm still not sure about them yet. But I really want to be excited, and I want to enjoy this year, because I think it's going to be your typical Tad Boyle year where we win a lot of games that we shouldn't and we lose a lot of games that we shouldn't, which is always fun. But maybe next year we might not lose as many of those games that we shouldn't, and we'll win all the games that we should. It's obviously super exciting. All the guys that you're returning, you don't have a returning senior on the roster this year. So the two guys that you're going to lose are guys that are one-year guys that are going to be contributors to this team. But I think after what we saw on Monday, they're not going to be elite players for this team. They're probably not even going to start that much for this team. So you're really going to return likely all five of your starters, and then you're going to throw in a five-star and likely 2 4-star recruits right behind them. So, there's a lot to be excited. I think it's kind of similar to Creighton this year, and everybody is hyping up Creighton to be this top five team nationally. Are they top five in the AP poll? They might be top 10, somewhere in that area. But they were not very good last year. They were very up and down. They lost a lot of games they shouldn't. They almost didn't make the NCAA tournament. I think they got in right at the end, didn't they?
They still got Marcus Zagorowski.
No, they do not. That guy was fun.
They're number nine.
That's a team that, like, everybody is hyped up because of all that they're returning, all the production that they're returning, and they brought in a couple 5-stars. And I think that's could be what we're looking at when we get to 2023, 2024 with this CU Buffs team. And I wouldn't be surprised if they are ranked to start the season next year, which would be a ton of fun. When was the last time a CU team was ranked to start the year?
Had to be Spencer's junior year.
No, I was thinking of Skip Booker when they won the Charleston Classic.
Yeah, when that season ended in Seattle University's gym. Go Redbirds. I could see that comp. I think we can aim higher than that, though, honestly. Like, we said this in the 2-hour preview we did with Ben and Will. Everyone, please listen. But this team, to me, is like you said, classic Tad Boyle growth year. A lot of guys that are growing up into upperclassmen, and if they can do that early in the season, this team has the potential to be really special too. It has the potential to be an NCAA tournament team if everyone grows early and figures out their role and steps up. But you're asking for a lot of people to step up all at the same time, and I just doubt that happens with 19 to 20 year olds. It's just hard to do. But next year, once a lot of that has been panned out this year, like most of the growing pains are done this year, with all of that people stepping into new roles, you are looking at a roster that is senior heavy, junior heavy, has incredible young talent also there, and the depth will be absolutely incredible. So let me ask you, here's the last question I have, because I went back and forth with CU Goose on Twitter about this. Say we have to get the rotation down. Say we have to get the rotation down to 8 men. Like, what's your rotation? What's your starting lineup looking like with the 3 bench guys? Because I find it really hard. Like, next year's team is incredibly loaded if you look at it that way. And yeah. if we assume that it's not one of the bigger contributors moving on, like if we assume that's not Clifford wanting more minutes or De Silva going pro or something like that, and both those guys are coming back, I guess I'll get it started with my starting lineup. It's incredible. You got junior KJ Simpson. You have, I'm assuming, freshman Cody Williams immediately starting. I don't know if he's finishing games, but he's definitely going to start games. And then I'm starting both Nick Clifford and De Silva as seniors. I think those are going to be two of the best players in the team. And then I'm probably finishing off with starting Lawson Lovering as the fifth guy. Just has the size. He's already looking really good defensively. And then trying to get that rotation out of eight men is hard. I think Javon Hadley is automatic sixth man and the best sixth man in the conference if he is next year. And then you have someone like Julian Hammond.
He's probably better as a fifth starter.
Well, this is why it's an interesting discussion. And then I have Julian Hammond.
Conversation, yeah, I'll do it. I'll go over mine.
I have Julian go Hammond ahead, as the seventh guy. And then I think as the eighth guy, it's going to be a weird mix-up between, like, Luke O'Brien, Javon Ruffin has to be somewhere in there probably, and then a mix of Joe Hurlburt and Asane Giop / Bandongo / big guy that's going to be in this class because you need size. Yak.
Damn.
Yak, yak.
Damn, okay.
Australian.
You said a mix of O'Brien plus those other bigs?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was about to say. I was going to say, like, if you have Lovering starting and De Silva, you don't necessarily need another big man, but it would be nice.
Well, yeah, totally true. The problem with what I just put out is, like, we have no idea what Quincy Allen is. That guy was a top 50 recruit at one point, and he wasn't even in the eight man for next year. Like, got to be, you know, maybe he's the guy that leaves. I don't know. But, like, okay. There wasn't room for him in there. And Ruffin has to be – he's going to get minutes. Ruffin was really solid. Like, he's going to get minutes. I don't know. It's just impossible for me to try to do
that. I like Ruffin.
I like Ruffin, too, just because he can shoot the lights out. But,
Think Quincy's, I agree.
Not in the rotation this year. Is he? Quincy's like 11th or 12th guy. I don't know if Quincy's going to play much at all. Maybe as we go on this year, once we get into January or something, he might be playing more. But it looks like he's the odd man out right now as a top 50 recruit.
Speaks to the depth again. I don't think it's not like he's just trash and that's why he's not playing. I think this team is deep enough. We don't have to take the chance on Quincy Allen. It sounds like the biggest issue with Quincy Allen is consistency. So, if you know, mm-hmm. but in a world where he figures that out, what do you do with that next year? What do we do? Even know. Sorry, go ahead, Sam.
Well, especially because, like, the transfers they did add, they're all big-ish wings, or, like, Ethan Wright isn't very big, but he plays bigger than he is, who kind of fill the role Quincy Allen could fill. And they've just been playing better than him, apparently, in practice, where they've been more consistent, more available. So, I mean, like, if he doesn't win a starting rotation spot, like, it's not because he didn't necessarily, like, deserve it. It's because the other guys just were better than him. And these guys, like, I did not know what to expect from Javon Hadley. And I think that right now, over Nick Clifford, I think we have to see a Kobe Evil. Only seen one game and one scrimmage. I think we have to see what happens with Nate Clifford as he develops this season. But I think right now, with Cody Williams coming in, Cody Williams takes a starting spot. Javon Hadley has a starting spot for me. And then I have KJ Tristan and Lawson Lovering with Nick as the sixth man. Which I like because he's a
But would Nick Clifford transfer if you said you're gonna go off the bench next year? I feel like he would. I would if I were him.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
I mean, Nick is a good kid. Like,
I don't want to say that if you transfer, you're a bad kid. I feel like it's...
Okay, no. Okay. Sorry. I think in terms of, like, if he can be, like, he wants to be a supporting role player that makes the team better. Like, that's what he wants to be as a basketball player. What?
Maybe. I think you're probably right, but that's just such a waste of his potential to me. Like, he can be so
okay,
much.
Sure. I think, though, but I also think that, like, this mentality of, like he talked to me and Jack Carlo about, basically, he wanted to learn from Deshaun Schwartz on how to be, like, a good positional defender and a good shooter to make everybody's lives easier, like to basically be a better teammate and to mm-hmm. help win. And I think maybe part of that mentality might hold him back, to be honest, because like he's talented enough to where he should want to be like the lead guy. But I think like if he is fully bought into CU as a program, if he wants to contribute to winning basketball, and this could be a really good team, being a sixth man is fantastic. I would love to be a sixth man. Like, that's my dream job. It's like, you don't have the pressure of being a starter. You don't have to worry about spacing. You get to be the lead ball handler against worst defensive players. It's great. You still get to play 20 minutes, 25 if you're playing well. That's good.
I think that's a good point. I guess the last point I have on that is this is where the program's at, where I'm pretty confident Cody Williams is a really, really good player. And I'm also pretty confident that Cody Williams next year will be at best CU's third or fourth best player. Like, next year's team has some high level talent and has some high level depth.
We need one star on this team.
What's up?
This current team, we just need one star, basically.
But that's what this year is for, right? Is developing some of that. Like, I'm just imagining senior year Tristan Da Silva just being an absolute killer, and then junior year KJ Simpson realizing that he's a man, right? Like, that's crazy to me. And then you also have guys like Nick Clifford that can blow up at any time. Cody Williams is a huge add. And you know, Lawson Lovering is still – watching him move around on Monday against UC Riverside, it's just so obvious how much of a defensive force he is. And if he can get that offensive side figured out too, oh, my God. Oh my God!
His passes were nice against Riverside, mm-hmm. by the way. Mm-hmm. All right, Chase, you've been sitting there.
Much, yeah. Like, the only thing that Lawson's missing is touch and mm-hmm. confidence. So probably two things, but all he needs is to be able to finish around the rim, and he could be a really, really good player.
And another year of strength training mm-hmm. will do him very well with this new strength coach. Do you have a rotation?
I think I agree mostly with you guys. I think right now I would have Neek in the starting spot over Javon, but it looks like Javon's going to definitely make a case this year. So it'd be hard to speculate just because we have to see how they do this year, which I guess is always a lame answer. But I agree with you guys. I think Neek, KJ, Cody Williams, Lawson Lovering, and Da Silva are your five next year. And you could probably go 12 deep with the roster that's going to be behind that.
Oh, you got to cut it to 8. That's not the game.
I know. I can't cut it to 8. It's
you can't cut it to 8. I love all my kids equally. I'll do it for you. Hammond is in there for you, right?
Hammond has to be in there, yeah.
Okay.
Unless he's the guy.
And then you would have Hadley in there. So that's 7.
Yeah, Hadley or Neek. The odd man out. And then your bigs.
Okay, which would be Luke O'Brien, Joe Hurlburt, and mystery prospect coming in. What?
He's on a job.
Oh, okay. Yes. If we get him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. We can kind of narrow down who this mystery third guy might be. It's easy that we have three local big men. They're all huge targets. So that's an easy place to start. We know it's probably going to be a big. Taz Boyle's talked about that before, how he needs a big in this class. Bayfall is the highest of highly rated bigs in this class. He's the number one center in the country, local. But doesn't look like he's going to go anywhere other than Arkansas, and we'll see if he goes to Arkansas. He might be a straight G League to NBA guy. So write him off. But then we have Asana Job.
Sounds like Arkansas would have to pull off some funny business to get that man.
And we've never seen Eric Musselle and or Arkansas do that to get a guy eligible. We've never seen that happen. Oh, that's crazy. That would
be very out of character for Eric Musselman and just the university in general.
Bayfall, not an option at this point. Asana Diop and Bay Ndongo, both options, both four-star big men locally. A little bit different profiles there. Asana Diop, I would say, is a little more polished. Definitely has some really nice passing to his game. Kind of knows where to move. Pretty decent stroke, honestly, but like still athletic, still really athletic. There's a reason he's a mid-four-star. He's choosing between Colorado, Arkansas, and I forget the third one within the next week here. Who was it?
Seton Hall.
Seton Hall. Wow. Nice. Shaheen Holloway doing work out here, man.
In the dream.
So
Bayfall's still considering Seton Hall as well. That's in his top three.
Sweet. Good for them. Go Pirates. Angel Delgado, Ralphie Report legend. We talked about him about a million times. Next one is Bayandongo, who I would say is a little bit of a rawer prospect, but seems to have a lot more athletic potential as well. He is an absolute freak athletically. He came out a little bit late. Sounds like he's deciding mainly between CU and Michigan right now. So that's good company to be in. Michigan bigs are usually pretty good, and Juwan Howard seems to know what he's doing with big guys, I would say. So interesting third piece there, and really high floor if those are some of the ones you're choosing between. So I don't know whether it is Jopper and Dongo. I'd expect them to play some next year, right? I would imagine. No,
why are we forgetting about our boy Yak Yak? Well, you have to talk about Yak Yak. He's in the mix.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were doing a funny name for like Jakob Pertl or something. I was like, what the fuck is this?
No, he's the third option of the bigs. He's from Australia, and he might even have the highest ceiling just because we don't know too much about him. But
how do you spell Yak Yak?
Y-A-K-K.
Y-A-A-K.
Yep.
Wait. Y-A-A-K?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Twice.
Twice. So, okay. Yeah, Australian big guy, thicker than the other three we mentioned. He's already built as hell as an 18-year-old. Some interesting programs after him. If you want the full scoop, please visit Inside the Herd at 247 Sports. Give Adam some patronage. He's dying over there. The community's desperate for football news. He's got to give him something else to talk about because there are a lot of discussions that is not fun for him to be a part of right now. But regardless, he has the full scoop on Yak Yak. Some big-time programs after him as well, and some long-term, really good international recruiting programs, which is a good sign because you don't want to be the only guy on an international prospect. We saw that with Jakob Dombeck. Did not go well. So let's – like for example, St. Mary's is trying to recruit Yak Yak. Perfect Australian. Randy Bennett knows his Australians. You want to be for the same Aussies that Randy Bennett's going for. But, yeah, also Yak Yak, really good shooting stroke. I would say slower athletically than the other three, but he can shoot, and he's huge, which are two good things.
I love him. I love watching him just because he's a fun player. You don't get many seven-footers that are that massive that can shoot the way that he can shoot. And you're exactly right. The last guy that CU beat St. Mary's for was Jabari Walker.
Hey. Jabari Walker, the if it keeps on giving. I don't know if we saw that, but Jabari Walker's family talked to Jalen Williams and Cody Williams' family because they're both from the same Arizona prep circle. So definitely putting a good word for Tad there in terms of his development. So Jabari Walker, the if it keeps giving. Suck it, Randy Bennett.
Jakob Dombeck transferred to Hartford, didn't crack the rotation, and now he's playing at Davenport University D2.
What happened to my boy Lazar
Nikolic? He's playing in
that is Italy. Three straight Ralph Report podcasts that we have mentioned Lazar Nikolic. That has to be a record.
Go!
Oh my god, that's incredible.
He plays in Rome.
I have his poster in my room. Player poster.
To get that signed.
I know, I need it. Maybe someday he'll come back. I know he's still talks to a lot of the CU guys.
I can get you Josh Fortune. He plays in Denmark.
Okay.
I mean, just to put a bow on it, if that is the potential, if any of those guys are your potential third guy you're adding to this class, it's just an incredible recruiting class. Again, it is a huge testament to Tab Boyle. Again, that all we're hearing about on the football side of things is institutional problems. You can't win here. And it's like, shut up. Look at this guy who's doing all of that at the highest level he's ever done it at the same goddamn institution. I'm sick of the slander. Hang the banner. Build the statue. It is incredible what he's doing. No NIL program, no problem. He's going to make an NIL program by using some weird-ass third-party contract stuff because, of course, he is. All he knows how to do is win and recruit at Colorado, two things the football program cannot do. So please support Tab Boyle. The stands on Monday were terrible. We're selling out for 0-8 Colorado against Cal, and we can't fill up UC Riverside? We can't even do 75% UC Riverside? Oh, my God. I got so mad. I'm heated now. Sorry, but, like, just give the dude his
You cross. Forgot something.
That was beautiful. I love that. Can we just let him go on for the rest of the show? You have anything else to say, Jack?
that was a lot of it, but I just, you gotta love it. I mean, come look at the thing he is building and just marvel. Like, Colorado basketball is a monster and will be a monster thanks to Tad Boyle. And I just love this class.
You said win and recruit, and you forgot developing NBA talent.
That's true. It's not just like he's getting great players in here on the lowest recruiting budget in the Pac-12, by the way, Rick George, by the way, lowest recruiting budget in the Pac-12. He is also making those players better every single year. And I don't want to forget this as well. I believe it's still true. Every single senior in the Colorado Buffaloes program has graduated. That is a huge deal. And that is something that's also incredible. It is not just there for the wins, and he's not just there for the developing of the basketball side. These people generally end up as college graduates and better people than they'd started. And that's, you know, he's doing it all, folks. He's doing it all. Support the man.
Am I a better person?
Cherry pick stat.
Being a graduate.
What's up? Lazar Nikolic hasn't graduated, but he wasn't a senior.
That's true. It is a quote unquote cherry pick stat, but you'd be shocked at how many programs do not succeed at that cherry pick stat. There are a lot of them. So,
has Bryce Peters graduated?
What's up?
Did Bryce Peters graduate? Don't ask that question.
I have no idea where Bryce Peters ended up.
I don't think he ever made it back to school.
Oh, he did briefly.
So yeah,
you guys stall while I look this up.
Okay. So anyways, those are my thoughts. Any final thoughts here, Chase?
I thought that was a beautiful rant, and there's no way that I could say any of that better myself. So why even try? I'm not too worried about attendance, though. They show up for the big games. They always do. Do we really need that many fans at UC Riverside? I mean, look around the country. Maybe Duke, Kansas, like your really big blue bloods, they might pack the student section, but there are not a lot of college basketball programs that are packing their student section every single game. They will for the big games, and we know the CU students will show up for the big games. It's tough to do on a Monday night. You got schoolwork. You're back into the groove.
I'm just sick of it. I get it. And, you know, it's such a Colorado thing, too, where a Saturday football game can be an event, an outdoor event that people are, about, you know, happy to hype to go to. Like, that's part of it, too. But, like, we are 1-9 or whatever in football, and that stadium has been packed at every single kickoff. I've been there. I've been part of the problem. And it's just like, I just give the man – he literally said that in the press conference today – when he was talking about recruiting Cody Williams and what he thinks he can bring to the program. You know what the first thing he mentioned was? Some excitement, because I want to see more people get excited about us. We have a really fun team this year, and we want more people in the stands. And I hope that signing someone as impactful or as big of a deal as this helps with that excitement. He's talking about it. He is challenging our fans, and we need to absolutely be there for him, because he is working goddamn miracles in Boulder right now. And just please be like, buy the tickets, show up. It's worth it.
I think the timing is right for what Tad was saying to actually work out. I do think, like, there's a lot of CU football fans that haven't paid too much attention to basketball over the last 5-10 years that are like, oh, this is actually a really good program. This might be where I want to invest my money. This might be where I want to buy tickets. I think there's a significant portion. I mean, you look on the Buff Stampede board, they want to talk about is football, and there might be a big thread of basketball, some big news, and you might get 2-3 responses, but you'll get 100 responses on pretty much every single football topic. So I think this could generate some buzz. It feels like it generated a lot of buzz on Twitter and all over the message boards today. And I do think there are going to be some of those alumni type fans that are going to wake up a little bit and start investing some money into the program that is actually good.
For reference, I got my friends $8 tickets for the Yale game. $8 to watch this team. $8, folks. All right, sorry. That's one Twitter subscription. Sorry, continue.
It's also like, if you go to a football game on a Saturday, that takes your entire Saturday. You can go to a basketball game, a 7 p.m. basketball game, and it's just that night. 6 to 10 is the time that you have to commit.
Yeah, and you can eat at Yellow Belly before, right, Jack?
It closed down. RIP.
Oh, damn. I have an update on Bryce Peters. He transferred to Northwest Florida Junior College. Did not make it onto the roster.
Ugh.
But if – what?
My heart hurt when you said that.
You said what happened? I don't know. I found no other basketball for him. But if he did
Northwest Florida
did make it. He would have played with Chris Duarte, which is weird.
No, yeah, Max Daniels. It might have been the same college, actually. Yeah,
sounds familiar.
Really?
Wow, perhaps we're ending this. We're ending this entire supposed to be celebration.
Florida Southwestern State.
All right. You said what? Northeastern.
Sam, you owe us your final. Sam, you owe us your final thoughts on this class. I'm nipping this in the bud right now. We're done, Maddox Daniels, Bryce Peters talk. Talk to us about this 2023 recruiting class before we shut it down.
From the three bigs that we're looking at, I'm good with all of them. I'm good. I think I would prefer, which one's the best one? Asana Jop.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll prefer him. I don't watch anything on him. I didn't know what to think about Courtney Anderson. I didn't know if he was going to be like R.J. Smith, or we kind of just forget about him for 4 years, and then he kind of shows up as a junior or senior as a 10th man.
As a high school recruit, he's definitely better than R.J. Smith.
Okay, yeah. Not to disrespect R.J. Smith, by the way.
Wouldn't it be nice to be in a position as a program where a two-year captain at Damien High School and 20-point-per-game scorer is just a forgotten-about 10th man for 4 years? Wouldn't that feel like a nice program?
It was really a nice program. I'm more excited now that you guys basically said he's a more polished, more ready Eli Parquet. That's crazy. I'd like to see how his shot develops if he is there. I also found out CU has not been in the preseason top 25 since 1969-70, in which
Cliff Mealy. Were, that's the Cliff Mealy year. Cliff Mealy junior year.
And then they sucked. They went 14-12. What?
Didn't they go to the Elite Eight right around that?
No, that was the year before. That's why.
Yeah, this was the start of the end of the Sox Ralseth era, is what Sam's talking about, where it's just too inconsistent despite the talent coming in.
Oh, I didn't know. So the
last
that.
Time was 1967, you said?
1969.
69. Nice. Yeah. I think they're going to do it in 2023.
Top five?
Yeah.
Did you say top five or top 25, Sam?
Top 25.
Top 25.
To start
That was the last time CU was preseason top 25 was 1969?
That's also the only time they've ever been preseason top 25.
Are you shitting me? Are you serious?
Yeah, because preseason polls, I think,
oh, my God. Not even 40? Spencer Dinwiddie's junior year? Are we sure?
Yeah. I'm very sure. I'm even looking at the stats.
Oh, my God.
2013-14, which is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Let me find the schedule.
We played Oregon and Harvard early.
Top 25. What?
We were not top
25 until 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks into the season after we beat Kansas at home. We were unranked against Kansas.
I thought they were ranked for Kansas. That's interesting.
Not that I see.
Maybe I thought we were preseason ranked the year after that when Spencer blew his knee out. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Which we were not, because we went 16-18.
No, but preseason ranked.
No, but everybody knew that team was not very good.
What the? That is an insane stat, what you just said. That is an incredibly crazy stat. Oh my God! Build a statue.
That year, we oh, that was the year we had the game against Auburn late at night. Was that?
Yeah, that's you're thinking of Skia Booker's senior year, man. Yeah. All right, I have to fact check you on this whole thing now.
No. I know that's what you said. The year after he tore his ACL, that would be a Skia Booker's senior year.
No, the Kansas year
is different.
And Skia came into the same class.
It was a senior.
Yeah.
The year.
No, I know. And you said, yeah, and then Jack said maybe they were top 25 after Spencer blew out his knee.
But no, because Spencer wasn't.
Yeah, no, I'm looking, and yeah, Sam, exactly. I'm sorry for doubting you, and I'm sorry for being so combative. I'm just falling off that rant. You are correct. The last time CU was preseason ranked was 1969. That is absolutely incredible.
Thank you. And they should have been. Incredible. They should have been in the top 25 going into McKinley's senior year.
Absolutely, they should have. Absolutely, man. Yeah, we
get ranked that year?
I think we break that streak. That's how we'll end this podcast. I think this recruiting class helps break that streak next year.
But also, before we get into anything recruiting, before we think too far ahead.
Too late for that, dude.
One game.
I know.
And we have no idea what this team is going to be.
We have some idea.
Preseason, top 25, the Buffs would probably have to have some success in the NIT, maybe.
I think we can talk about this later in the season, but I think you'd have to get to 20 wins for sure, and you'd have to get some postseason success for sure, which is possible.
Yeah,
I mean, NIT success is not off the table.
No, they ran in a buzzsaw of St. Bonaventure last year.
The Bonnies! That big was absolutely incredible. I think that's still the best big CU played all year. That dude was nuts. Really? What's up?
Never mind. All right. What else we got?
That's it, right, man.
Let's end with one random CU basketball player.
I want to hear who everybody thinks will be CU's next head coach as of today.
We got to wrap up.
No. Let's wrap up with that. Just a name. Just a name. Put it into the ether. My guess, my actual guess, not what I want, but my actual guess would be Jeff Grimes. Sam?
All right. What word on the street is that Bronco Mendenhall is not being considered? It's a smokescreen.
I've heard conflicting reports on Bronco.
It's Bronco.
Boom. Chase?
I'll go with Ryan Walters.
All right.
Not necessarily who I want.
I don't want that for him.
There, but I think that one makes the most sense.
All right. Before we get too deep down the football dark hole, let's keep it bright about CU basketball. Thank you for joining us, Chase. Once again, you can always find him on Twitter, and you can always find some of his work at Action Network. He's still doing some great stuff there. Any other plugs I'm missing?
No, I think
you're a great hat.
Shout out to 10th and Uni, no free ads.
There you go. All right. Go Buffs!
Buffs! Buffs! Buffs! Buffs!